totally the Lord. All right, so Romans chapter 13. And anytime I go to a retreat and I don't know the person who is teaching, like, I spend the first 15 minutes that they're talking wondering, how old are they? Do they have any kids? Where are they from again? So I'm just going to get it all out of the way. I'll tell you. My husband and I have been married for almost 17 years. He's the cutest thing ever in the entire world. And we have 3 kids together. My oldest is going to be 15 on Monday, which I can't even believe that. And then I have a 12-year-old boy. Oh, and my oldest is a girl. And then I have a 12-year-old boy and a 10-year-old daughter. And we live in... Well, we technically live in Indio because that's where, like, all the people who wanted a house for less than $500,000 live. So we live in Indio, but our church is in Bermuda Dunes, which I didn't know where that was until a year and a half ago. We just moved a year and a half ago. There was that church that, oh, I forgot I had this thing on, sorry. There was a church and the pastor just got involved in some bad stuff and they needed somebody to come, and we had been out here for 6 years in Paris, like super small little city like this. You probably passed the signs on the way up here. It looks just like Broken Bow. So my husband had lived in Orange County all of his life. I had lived in San Diego most of my life, and we moved out in the middle of nowhere to this tiny little country place, and we lived there for 6 years and loved the people. I won't say that we loved it, but we loved the people. They were adorable. And then, long story, kind of shorter, the pastor, my husband was a high school pastor when we first got married at Calvary Chapel in Vista, California, if you guys know where that is at all. And that pastor called my husband and asked if he would come back and co-pastor with him. And so we did that for 5 years. They taught every other Sunday morning, and then my husband taught every Wednesday night. And then this church, we heard about the pastor. And, you know, unfortunately, in the society that we live in now, you hear about pastors who fall all the time. And it's always so heartbreaking, and it's on your heart for a couple of days, but then you just kind of forget. You know, you go on with your normal life. We could not get this church off of our heart, and it was just burning on our heart. And I actually started packing my house before we ever moved there, or obviously before we moved there, before we ever even met them or talked to them, because I was so sure we were moving to this church. And so I started packing my house so that it would be easier to move, and the Lord led us there. And so we've been there for a year and a half now, and it's been so good. I mean, it was a transition, so it hasn't been perfect, but it's been, God has been so gracious in the transition. So anyway, oh, and I'm 39 years old, about to be 40. So I guess if Kim starts looking at my hands, I'll know that I'm like, have old lady hands. So I don't know. That's what I took from her study. Just so, so much more. So, so good. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Father, we come before you right now, and I'm sure maybe everybody's a little sleepy from their day or tired or whatever it might be, but God, we want to hear now what you have to say. Lord, even as the song that you kept putting on my heart and you put on Cammie's heart, God, we want to see that glory that cannot be unseen. God, we want to know you. We want to see you. We want to experience you. We want to be filled with you. And so, God, would you open our eyes to who you are right now? And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that old show called What Not to Wear? I don't know, maybe it's still on. But where they took these sweet people who thought that they looked okay, but the rest of the world saw clearly that they didn't. And maybe they were well-intentioned, but their outfits clearly didn't fit. So it is with some of us. Some of the things that we wear, we should not be wearing, but not so much in the outfit, but more in our personality. It doesn't fit who we are. It doesn't fit who we were created to be. It's not garments that we should be wearing. We are going from rags to riches, and yet some of us are still content to wear the rags because we're comfortable in them. We know what the rags feel like. We like the way that they fit, and God has given us new clothes to wear. In Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now we know that just because a person is wearing something, it doesn't mean that it fits. We've all seen those sweet little people that we want to pull aside and say, have you ever seen this outfit from the back? You know, and you're just thinking, I understand that you're wearing this, but it doesn't fit. You just want to say so sweetly, it's not fitting. It doesn't fit. This is not what we are to wear. These are not what we are to be dressed in. And yet often, what we read about in Colossians are the garments that I put on. I put on the anger. I put on the wrath. I put on the malice. And I love that show because at the end of the show, they get a credit card with a ton of money to buy clothes that fit. And I always thought, well, I wonder if we could kind of work up this scheme where I wear a bunch of bad outfits, somebody else records me, just so that we can get this money and get all these new clothes. God, through his grace, gives us what we could never earn on our own. He gives us clothes that we could never afford, that we could never find, that we could never sew for ourselves. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and go through this list in Colossians chapter 3 of what God tells us we are not to wear, what we are to take off, to put off. It's Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Because if you and I are going to be clothed in the garment of Christ, it's important to know what the garment does not contain. The first one we see in Colossians 3, verse 8, is anger. And the definition of anger in there is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, hostility. And maybe you're thinking like me, you don't have to tell me the definition of anger. I know what anger means. He says, put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It's not what you're to be clothed in. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good on you. The next thing he tells us to put off is wrath. And this is strong, extreme, vengeful anger or indignation. He says, put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. Malice is to be humored by another's misfortune, bad will, or the desire to do bad things to another person. That's like a very broad spectrum. Do you have a desire to do bad things to another person? Put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. The next one that he says is blasphemy. And this is the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, profane talk toward holiness. He says, put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. Then there's filthy language that he says to put off. Bad language, cuss words, cursing, dirty words, profanity, foul mouth, putting some kind of slang word in there to make an emphasis on having the nature of filth. He says, watch your mouth. Put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. Then he says lying, false statement with deliberate intent to deceive, intentional untruth, something intended or serving to convey the false impression. And most of us are past lying like maybe our kids lie, or maybe we lied when we were kids, just the blatant like Pinocchio lies. You know, I didn't go to school because a monster came and grabbed me and chopped me up into firewood. Most of us are past that kind of lying, hopefully. If not, maybe your noses will grow. I don't know. I love that movie, showing it to my kids. Look, this might happen. Does that really happen? Maybe. I don't know. Good. But the idea of this word lying in the Greek is just a false witness. And it's that same one, remember, when Jesus was brought to trial and the men came to the trial and they said, this man said that if the temple was destroyed, he would raise it up in 3 days. Well, that is what Jesus had said. He did say that, but it's not what he meant. So this word lying in here is giving the right information with the wrong implication. Like if you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late, there was traffic, and those are like two separate sentences, and you're flying down the road as fast as you possibly can, and you think, oh, well, I'm not technically lying. I didn't say I was late because there was traffic. I said, I was late, there was traffic. Somewhere in the world there's traffic. Like, that was a complete statement, but that's not what you are trying to convey. He says, put it off. It's not what you're to wear. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. He says, this is not what you're to wear. Take those off. They are not to be the garments that my children wear. They're rags. You and I have gone from rags to riches, and yet often, like we said, we are content to continue to be clothed in the rags. He says, put it off. There's to be no politeness with our flesh, no wiggle room in what he says. Have you ever had those people who do not leave your house? Like, they come over for dinner and it's midnight and they're still there and they have been for hours saying things like, oh, I should probably go. You're probably so tired. And you're thinking, yes, get out of here. But what do we say? No, because we're sweet, nice little, oh, no, I love having you here. This is great. Now you're all going to be paranoid if you ever come to my house for dinner. Just don't stay until midnight. Okay. We had a house in Oceanside and it was when my husband worked at Vista, and for some reason, we had a ton of people who worked at Calvary Vista who lived in this neighborhood, and it was this giant maze of a neighborhood, you know, like those neighborhoods that go into other neighborhoods, but our street, for some reason, was like the main street that you would take to get out onto the main street to go to church, and people would just stop by all the time. They would stop by. I had one friend who had 7 kids, and she would stop by all the time. When I was homeschooling my kids, she would stop by with her 7 kids. And like it was then lunchtime, and I'm thinking, I'm not feeding them all lunch again because I just did this last week. But then they would start to say, I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Well, maybe Miss Christie has food. And so then I would start making food. And sometimes you and I treat our flesh like that. We know that God says to put it off, and yet we have a politeness. Oh, I know I should do this, but oh, I don't want to make it feel bad. I know I shouldn't be gossiping, but I don't want to make that person feel bad. I know I shouldn't lie, but I don't want to make that person feel bad. I loved our verses that we read earlier in Romans 13. I loved it in the Message version, and whatever you think about the Message version, it's probably not the best to read for your devotions, but sometimes if you read it as kind of a commentary, it's so enlightening. But Romans 13 in the Message says, but make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter, don't linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. I just love that because there's no room in there to be polite with our flesh. He's like, you've got a job. You've got a job. You're supposed to put this off. This is what you're supposed to wear. He's basically saying, get out of your jammies and put on your armor. The jammies, leggings, yoga pants of whatever came easy, whatever felt good, whatever seemed okay. That's over. The old man is over. And we're identified, aren't we, as who we are by what we wear. You think of a mailman. You can see a mailman in a store. You can see a mailman on the street, and you know what he is. Why? Because he says, hey, I'm a mailman. No, you know he's a mailman because he's got the little knee highs and the little tiny shorts and the little button-down shirt. We're identified by what we wear. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. You and I are the elect of God. We're chosen by Him before the foundation of the world, created by Him for good works. He has things that He wants to use us for. He has things that He wants to use us in. And so being the elect of God, you and I are to be identified by the way that we walk in certain ways, by the way that we dress in certain ways, by the way that we behave in certain ways, and by the way that we live in certain ways. You and I were in rags, weren't we? Maybe some of you remember it. Maybe some of you don't. I have a horrible testimony, just filled with debauchery and filth and tantrums. And then I turned 3 and I asked Jesus into my heart. And I just grew up with Him. So I don't quite remember what that was like. But you know what? Jesus needed to go to the cross for me and my testimony, just as much as He needed to go to the cross for you in your testimony. We all had those times where we were dressed in rags because we had nothing else to wear. But Jesus took us in, gave us a home, made us heirs of all that He is, and clothed us in His garments. Right here, right now, tonight, you and I have been made clean and holy by His blood, if you've asked Him into your heart. We're made clean and holy. Our rags have been removed, and we have been clothed in all that He has. We have been given everything that He wants us to wear. And you and I have this choice of what will we put on and what will we wear. You know, the idea of putting off all of those things and putting them on. And some people, I have been, maybe you have too, will accuse us of being fake. Oh, you don't really love that person. Why were you so nice to them? I know that they were mean to you. I know that they weren't nice to you. So why are you being so kind to them? Does it mean that we're being fake when we put on the love that God has given us? I love the story. John Corson tells it, of the actor Cary Grant. And he was born as Archibald Leach in a rough part of Bristol, England. And he was brash, arrogant, and poor. And he wanted to make money as an actor. And so he decided who he wanted to be, who he wanted to portray himself as, and he started playing the part long before he ever got discovered in acting. And shortly before his death, he was interviewed. And they asked, have you always been so suave and sophisticated? And he laughed and he said, no, I played the part so frequently that it became me ultimately. I put on this character so often that it became who I am. And this is such a great description of how you and I are to live, how you and I are to be clothed. God gives us His garments to wear. It's by His grace only. And through His Holy Spirit, you and I become who we could never be on our own. We mommies get this, don't we? Do we really care if a sibling is sorry when we make them apologize? I don't. I just want them to say it and be over with it. Do I care if they want to brush their teeth? Oh, you don't want to brush your teeth? It's okay. Maybe you're just a dirty mouth person. Oh, no. I don't care if they want to brush their teeth or not. I make them do it. Do I only have them clean their room if they like to do it? Who likes to clean their room? I mean, I guess sometimes I do. But no, why do you make your kids do what they should do because you hope that eventually it'll become a habit in their life and that it will develop the character of who they are. I really, really, really hope that someday my children brush their teeth without me calling them when they're 40 years old. Did you brush your teeth? No, I didn't brush my teeth. I don't want to do that. We force them to do it because we hope that it becomes who they are. And this is, in effect, what God tells us to do when he says to put off and to put on. It doesn't make us fake. It makes us conformed into his image. It makes us practice to be who he wants us to be. Again, only by grace, only by the Holy Spirit, but by our choice of obedience, right? Grace does not force itself upon us. Grace is not something that says it's okay to be whoever you want to be. Grace is a power that God gives us to become who we could never be on our own, to be clothed in the garments that we could never be on our own. And the enemy, isn't he so tricky? He's so mean. He wants to freak us out with every situation that we walk in. But God says, my peace guards you. The enemy wants us to respond in wrath, anger, malice, because isn't that usually what's driving it? It's usually fear that makes me lash out in wrath or in anger or in malice. It's fear of what a person thinks of me. It's fear of what the future might hold. It's fear of what might happen. But God wants his peace to guard us. And before the foundations of the earth, you and I had every garment that Jesus wanted us to wear packed in our eternal suitcase. Satan desperately wants us to be flustered and floundering and clothed in rags. And so he holds out the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and he says, wear this. This is a really bad situation. You should definitely wear this. He holds out the sleepiness, the revelry, the drunkenness, the lewdness, the lust that we've read about in Romans 13. And he says, put this on. This situation really needs this outfit. They're not going to understand your point if you don't hold on to your bitterness and if you don't lash out in anger. You need to wear this. But God holds out peace to rule our hearts. He holds out the peace that passes understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He gives us perfect peace to wear. He gives us the clothes of tender mercies, of kindness, of humility, of meekness, of long suffering, of forbearance, of forgiveness, and above all, love. And in every situation, you and I have the choice, which garment are we going to take? Satan holds out the yucky ones, the rags. God holds out the beautiful garments, the riches. Both are offered to us in every situation. Because I'm sure that you have days like I do, where I wake up just filled with love, filled with excitement to serve Jesus, filled with joy, and then I'm getting ready, and all of a sudden something comes to my mind, and it's like a little fiery dart of the enemy. Do you remember when so-and-so said this about you? Oh, I do remember when she said that about me. That was very sad. And do you remember then afterward when she did this? I forgot she did this. I do. And before we know it, we haven't even left the house or talked to another person. And we have 10 new enemies because, and then they reacted this way. And then that person didn't stand up for me. This is the old rags that the enemy wants us to take and to put on every day. The rags of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. But these are not the garments that you and I are to be clothed with. They're not the garments of Christ. It's the life of our old flesh. Our tendency is the flesh, but we're to put on the new man. Clothe ourselves with the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so the fact that we were clothed in rags and the fact that we now have riches, it means that we are no longer to think the way that our flesh wants to naturally think, that we are no longer to act the way that our flesh wants to naturally act, that we have the mind of Christ. Now, we have the armor of God to put on. And you and I have to realize that we cannot change clothes and change tendencies without making the enemy upset. He loves it when we're clothed in rags. You think about a person who's clothed in rags. You think about how cold they look when they're on the streets. You think about how dirty they look, how sad they look. And that's how the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to be cold. He wants us to be dirty. He wants us to be lowly esteemed. He doesn't like it when we start to take off those rags, to put off those rags, to put on the garments of Christ. And he's in it for the battle. I mean, some days I don't know what I'm thinking. I feel like I think that Satan would say, oh, I've been fighting this battle for thousands of years with millions of saints, but now that you're here, I'll just bow out gracefully and let you go ahead and win. I don't know what I think that he would say. He's here for the fight, so you and I must also be here for the fight. And there are times, days, and moments where I feel like I have to take off those rags and put on the garments of Christ like 45 times in a single minute. And there's some days that it seems like too much, but really in reality, it never is it? I mean, there's battles that we fight, and it's not fun to fight the flesh. It's not fun to fight the enemy. But truly, when we look at it, haven't we been given all the strength and the armor that we need? We don't like to fight. It's not easy to fight, but we have every weapon that we need. But you and I need to make sure. We need to make sure that we're wearing the right clothes, the right armor, the right battle gear, and that we are wearing it in the right places. We, you know, like I said, took over this new church, and it was after a crazy situation, and I love the people. I love where we live. But, you know, it takes me a while to put on the new battle gear and to recognize that there's a new battle. And I told my husband a couple of weeks ago, I think I'm wearing Calvary Chapel Vista's armor and trying to fight in that armor for this new church. Not that we're fighting people, but we're fighting the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy these people that we serve. And so, you know, I just realized I think that I'm trying to fight it the Calvary Vista way, like David when he went out to fight Goliath and Saul's trying to clothe him in his armor, and he's like, I can't even do this. I just got to take it all off and go get some rocks. And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm wearing the wrong armor. Each place, each situation, each day has its own battles. And each battle is different and requires different armor. We can't get caught in last season's armor. Last season's armor is not going to cut it. It's not going to be enough. A new season call for new armor. For new leadership, God gives a new mantra. For new challenges, he gives us new strength. For new battles, he gives us new confidence. For new enemies, he gives us new weapons. And the thing that we have to remember, because Satan will always cast into question the strength of the armor that he provides, but God's armor always exceeds the new battles, always. His battle gear is always stronger than the battle itself. It just takes a bit of time for us to learn how to fight and to use these new weapons. We don't know how to fight the enemy of our souls with these new weapons for these new situations, for these new times that we're in. And sometimes we put on the armor in the wrong places. I mean, I just picture myself now in this new church and God's giving me this new bundle of armor, you know, and it feels kind of like getting an IKEA bed where you've got like a little drawn man and you've got a whole lot of pieces and you've got a little like tool that you're supposed to do, and you've just got all these things. We bought my son a new IKEA bed 4 weeks ago, and we just haven't had the heart to put it together. It's like, what weekend is long enough to do that? I don't know. It just never seems convenient. Like, today seems like a great day to take down an old bed and put up a new IKEA one. Seems perfect. I'm just praying that my husband does it while I'm gone. I don't think that's going to happen. But some of us, you know, God gives us this armor that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, and we have all these things to keep ourselves so strong, and we're in the battle for it. And I just imagine myself sometimes putting it on, and God's like, oh goodness, look at her. She's got the breastplate of righteousness on as a skirt. It's not a skirt, Christine. It goes right here. And, you know, I take the helmet of salvation. I'm like, is this a face mask? I can't see anything. And he's like, it goes on your head. And he gives us this armor, and it just reminds me all the time of Little Mermaid, you know, when they give her a fork and she's like brushing her hair with it. And no, you eat with it, and you got to fight with this sword. You got to protect yourself. And this life is a battle. And sometimes you and I inwardly, we want to dress more like it's a fashion show. But God has called us to be soldiers, to be warriors, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us, to take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ. This is not stuff that comes naturally. Simply by having these new garments doesn't mean that we've put them on. And simply by putting them on today does not mean that they'll be on tomorrow. This is not our life. We don't have the luxury of choosing what we think we should wear. We've been bought by Christ. We've been redeemed by His blood. This is not our life. It's His. And Satan will tell us that it's our life. So you better protect your sad little heart by getting mad at them. And you better protect your sad little life by being bitter at them. But it's not our life to live. It's Christ's life to live. He already lived our life for us. Our lives are His turn to live. His turn to live through us. He already died for the sins of that person who has sinned against us. And you and I cannot wear whatever we want. And maybe you are one of those good mommies who let their kids wear whatever they want. I really try to be. Every once in a while, I could just let my kids walk in and let themselves get dressed. And even now, it's hard for me. But I remember this one day, my son, and if he ever comes out here, please don't ever tell him that I told you the story. I kind of want to stop the recording, but I won't. But he was so old. He was like maybe 8 or 9, and he had this Buzz Lightyear costume that he had since he was 4. And it was just one of those cheap Target ones, and we already lived in California. Anyway, you don't care. And we lived in Alaska. I could say that, you wouldn't even care. We lived in California or Texas, and we were at Disneyland, and, you know, the girls wanted to wear their princess dresses, and they would do that, and Jonathan wanted to wear his Buzz Lightyear costume. And I have the greatest picture of him that I have to hide with all of my heart and life, because it was so small. Like, it had, you know, the little foot flaps that would go over it, and those were on his knees. And this thing was so hiked into his tushy that it was just, like, all the way in there. And the whole, like, back part, the Velcro, it was, like, spread out into his shoulders. And, you know, the little, like, he's got blonde, curly hair. Him and AJ have always looked a lot alike. And so he's got this blonde, curly hair all over. And the little face mask part was so tight that he just had curls popping out. And I just loved that moment because he got to pick what he wanted to wear. And sometimes when you and I just pick what we want to wear, we look a little bit like that. It just doesn't quite fit how we're supposed to be looking. And maybe you had that in a physical outfit. Maybe you used to dress a little questionably physically. I know that I did. But then came that time where God fully caught a hold of your heart. And didn't those questionable outfits slowly make their way out of the closet? But for me, at least, it wasn't me looking at it saying, oh, I probably shouldn't wear that. It was me wearing it for a day and feeling incredibly uncomfortable and thinking, I don't think this is who I'm supposed to be anymore. And so it is with what you and I put on in our mouths. It usually takes us being a part of a conversation that suddenly makes us feel uncomfortable, or part of an activity that suddenly makes us feel uncomfortable. And the amazing thing is that you and I have been given a closet of new outfits. We've been given the garment of Christ. God never tells us not to wear something without first providing something new for us to wear. So what are we to be wearing now? We have everything that we need to be clothed in the riches of Christ. Do you have anyone in your home, or maybe you are, who is a clothes shover? And by clothes shover, I mean like when your sweet mommy works all day to do your laundry for you and hands it to you all nice and in your basket. You take it and then you shove it into the bottom of your closet or the back of a drawer. And I remember one day, One of my kids, who I won't tell you who it was, they said, I don't have anything that fits me at all. And I had noticed that, you know, a couple of things were coming through the laundry, but not much. I'm thinking, okay, you should be wearing 5 outfits a day, and I only have 2 shirts that I washed of yours. So I went into their room, and I tried to pull open the dresser. I know some of you mommies are, like, so nice, and you put the clothes in your kids. I don't have time for that. I don't do that. And so I opened everything and I said, what about this? What about this? Try on all this. And they put it on and they said, I have everything I need. And I had no idea. And I was like, exactly. And I was a little bit frustrated. And the Lord said, oh, that's so funny. That kind of sounds like you. Where I'm thinking, oh, I don't think I can be kind to that person. I don't think I can be merciful to that person. God, you have not given me the mercy. And he's like, oh, I have already given you everything that you need. The Bible tells us that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. That moment of salvation, that moment of conception of Jesus into our hearts, he hands us a new suitcase and he says, here, unpack this. But so often we're content to pull out one garment. We're like, sweet, I'll just wear this forever. And we get stuck in that. You and I are to be clothed in the garments of Christ. Physically and verbally, it should tell people around that I am an elect child of God. I'm a child of light. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm holy. I'm beloved. Just like we can, again, identify a mailman by what he wears, so our outfits that we are clothed in should tell this world that we are clothed in the riches of the garments of Christ. So he says in Colossians to put on tender mercies. And this is personal blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindnesses, consolation, and support. He says, put on kindness, and that's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Put on humility, the quality or state of not thinking that you are better than other people or having a low view of one's importance. Meekness. Having or showing a quiet and gentle nature, not wanting to fight or argue with other people, enduring injury with patience and without resentment, that's hard, not easily offended. So basically, the clothes that give you that strength to rise above the drama is what meekness is. I need a lot of meekness right now. Long-suffering, having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. Amen. Bearing with one another, the quality of someone who is patient and able to deal with a difficult person or situation without becoming angry, or refraining from the enforcement of something as a debt, a right, an obligation that is due. If anyone has a complaint, forgiving one another, to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone, to stop requiring payment, to give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Oh, don't we need those clothes? Don't we need those clothes in this world? Don't we need those clothes in our church? Don't we need those clothes in our family? And then he says in Colossians 3, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I love that story in Zechariah chapter 3, where it says, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The enemy, again, loves to see us clothed in those rags, in those dirty garments, and he clothes us with those rags, and then he accuses us for wearing those rags. He's just so icky. And love is like a new clean robe, and the other attributes are like accessories. Do we remember? Are we aware? Are we living with the remembrance that we have an enemy who is trying to clothe us in rags of rage and bitterness? But do we remember that the fruit of the Spirit of love keeps the enemy at bay? That above all else, you and I are to be clothed in love. that above anything that we wear, these beautiful new clothes that God gives us are like armor against the enemy. And you and I have to fight to put off the rags of the enemy and to wear the beautiful clothes of God. And sometimes we fight, like maybe you have a little kid like I did, and she would put her hand on her leg and say, "Don't tickle me, don't tickle me." And then you would start tickling her, and she'd, "I said, don't tickle me." And sometimes we flirt with the enemy like that. Sometimes we flirt with the old man like that. "Oh, I know I'm not supposed to wear this, but I'm just going to kind of keep this little garment and pack it in my suitcase of life. I'm going to not wear wrath, but I'm going to carry it around with me so that it's right under the surface of my skin, so that I have that bitterness. I'm going to smile at that person, but if she ever crosses me again, oh, I'm going to put that bitterness right back on and remind her of what she did to me." Sometimes we try to keep these old garments with us just in case we need it or want it. Maybe you have a favorite clothing item that hasn't fit you in like 85 years, but you keep it just in case it goes back in style, or just in case you lose that weight, or just in case your legs get unwrinkled somehow after they're so wrinkled. You keep it just in case you're way too old and chubby to wear it, but you just can't part with it. And you know you're not supposed to put it on, but you just haven't gotten rid of it completely. Romans 13, which we started with in verse 14, says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." He says, get out all possibilities for your flesh to fulfill its lust. That means you don't keep those rags. You don't hold on to the remembrance of that situation. We don't put those garments in our closet just in case. We take them out because it's not what we are to wear. Whatever our fleshly tendency is, take it off. So how do we do this? Really quick, and then we'll be done. Verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3, if you're still there, says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. May our clothing, our words, our thoughts, our actions be entirely founded on God's word, based in him, led by his spirit." And the key to all of this is letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Now, we were talking about cheesecake last night because Cammie went to the Cheesecake Factory and she did not bring us anything, actually. And I was eating one day. My family, we had gone to the Cheesecake Factory, and I get eczema if I eat too much gluten. And there's just, you know, certain things that are worth it, and that's fine. I'll just itch and get blisters because sourdough bread is totally worth it. And then there's just other things that I don't. And so I had super itchy hands at the time, and we were at the Cheesecake Factory, and they had a gluten-free cheesecake, and so I decided to get it. And has anybody had the gluten-free cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory? Okay. It's like chocolate on top of chocolate on top of chocolate. And I love chocolate, but I could eat like 3 bites of this thing. And I said, "Wow, this is so rich." And one of my kids said, "Like it has a lot of money." And I said, "No, like rich." And I was like, how do you describe rich? Like, how do you describe food that is rich? And so I decided to look up the definition really quick because I like words. And so I looked it up and it said dense, room for nothing else, made with quality ingredients, fatty, oily, sweet, being high in plant nutrients. I'm sure my cheesecake was not high in plant nutrients, or highly seasoned. And I love that because then I thought about that when it said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," that idea of dense, of room for nothing else, of made with quality ingredients. And so it is with what you and I wear, what we put off, what we put on. We just need to know what God has clothed us in. We need to be immersed in his word. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, I know that you girls are so well taught. Opening this word, putting on your armor, letting this word dwell in our hearts richly, so filled, so dense, so immersed that there's not even room for the enemy's thoughts, that there's not even room for those rags. Let's not waste this life wearing clothes that don't fit when we've been given his garments. Again, that last part of Romans 13 in the message, dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Let's get out of those spiritual yoga pants. Wear yoga pants all you want. That's fine. Physically, well, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. But spiritually, not in jammies. Not just wearing whatever seems good, whatever sounds good, whatever the enemy happens to hand you to put on for that moment. But opening up this word every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Being so richly filled with this word that there's room for nothing else. And that's how we get clothed in the riches of Christ. And so, Lord, we come before you, and I pray for all of these precious girls. Lord, would you give them such a time in your presence, such a time of just being filled with your fragrance. God, such a time in your word. Would you clothe us in who you are? God, we want to be identified as daughters of the King, clothed in your righteousness. We don't want to wear whatever the enemy happens to hand us to wear for that day, for that situation, for that conversation. God, help us to intentionally put off the rags and intentionally put on the riches of the garments that you have given us. Bless each one of these girls, we pray. Lord, I just want to pray for the girls who weren't able to come, that if there's any way that you could get them up there, up here, that you would provide that way, Lord. Just provide a way for them to come. Thank you for each one of these girls who are here. I just already love them and adore them so much, and I can't wait to get to know them. And I just see your heart for them and why you love them so much, because they are really, really cute and sweet. So just bless the rest of our night in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't know how to stop it. Oh, I have to press home.